nós estamos preparados para a tradução. De todo modo, eu preferiria, enfim, penso que é mais fácil para a comunicação. Eu, pessoalmente, irei utilizar a língua inglesa e se qualquer dos meus colegas preferir usar em português, há, enfim, evidentemente está... é possível tradução simultânea. I would like to welcome you to the meeting. I'm chairing the European Affairs Committee. We are still waiting for the chair of the first committee on constitutional affairs, fundamental rights and guarantees. He has called and he was in the traffic, so he will arrive at any time. We are here, members of parliament from almost all the parties represented in the parliament. I will not introduce anyone, but I will ask if someone wants to talk to introduce himself. But I think the aim of this meeting is, first of all, to hear you. So I will, first of all, give you the floor, and afterwards, if someone wants to talk, so welcome.
Well, I will speak also in English. I'm not sure if the interpreter is needed. Anyway, we have a young member of UGT near me, George Franco, and we'll do the task. And firstly, I would like to thank, on behalf of UGT, the three commissions and the deputies attending this meeting, and introduce the three members of the Burma delegations, Dr. Tan, Zoya Pan, and Mark Farmer. And of course, they will do it much better than me themselves. So once again, thank you very much.
Your Honours, thank you very much. Thank you for giving time to our delegation and paying attention to the situation in Burma. I had been here in this parliament building in 1993, together with the head of the Burmese government in exile. We had election in 1990, and then the National League for Democracy Party, led by Nobel Peace Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, won a landslide victory. But military never honor the results of the election, and then we formed the Burmese government exile with the elected MPs of the 1990 election. So the reason of forming a government exile is to claim the legitimacy of the 1990 election, and then to seek for the support from the international community for democratization in Burma. So we had been here in connection with the seminar organized by the European Parliament. So I'm very glad to come back again. But the democratic struggle in Burma has not yet been finished, you know, because after the 1990 election, nearly 100 of elected MPs had been arrested for their involvement in the formation of the government exile. So we raised the issue of parliamentarians and detention at the Human Rights Committee of the IPU, Interparliamentary Union, and every year. So as you have seen in that document, IPU put the list of 12 MPs in detention. So they are serving the long prison sentences, and they are still in detention, even after, you know, the nearly 20 years now. And as some of you may be aware, military not only refused to honor the results of the election, so after the election, the design, the constitution making process, you know, that to legitimize the military rule according to the constitution. So I just heard that Your Honor is part of, is the leader of the Constitution Committee. Actually, the constitution making has to be involved by the elected representatives of the people. But in our case, you know, that elected MPs have been excluded from the constitution making process, which started from 1993 and ended up in 2006. That is the longest, you know, constitution making process. But time only is not the matter, but the matter is most of the elected MPs having excluded from the constitution making, and military drawn up the constitution to legitimize the leading role of the army and the future politics of Burma. So I just want to make a brief point, you know, regarding that lack of democratic principle and constitution. So constitution legally promulgated provision that the military must play the leading role in the political life of Burma. So in particular, that the military will take 25% of the seats in parliament without, you know, contesting an election. The commander-in-chief will appoint military officials, 25% of the parliament. And second point is that the constitution endorsed the presidential system, and one of the quality to become the president is that president must have the military experience. So that means that only a former general can be can become the, you know, that you know, MPs. And another weak point of that constitution is that that constitution failed to reflect the aspiration of ethnic nationalities. Burma is a multi-ethnic state. We are not a homogeneous society. We have 8 major ethnic groups. And then just 1 year after the independence, we have civil war because the constitution at the time failed to reflect the federal structure, which is the aspiration of the ethnic nationalities, and also the autonomy of the ethnic nationalities and their respective area. So again, that new constitution drafted by the regime failed to reflect the will of the ethnic nationalities. Some of the ethnic resistant groups attended to the national convention with the expectation that their proposal will be considered, but unfortunately, almost all of the proposals were rejected by the regime. So after constitution making process, military imposed that constitution, sort of referendum, so-called referendum, actually, which was completely manipulated by the regime, you know, in terms of voting, and there was vote rigging, and you know, that was endorsed by 97% of the votes for the entire country, very high unusual rate. So I was in Dublin at the time, just after the referendum. As you know, that Lisbon Treaty, that European Parliament Constitution referendum, so most of the governments have to try very hard. So in Ireland, it was defeated in the first referendum. So I made a joke at the foreign minister at the time, why don't you learn from the Burmese military? Burmese military imposed their constitution with a high rate approval of 97%. So after that constitution process, military organized a new election, 2010 election. It is actually aimed to annul the 1990 election results. So now they are saying we have the new election, and 1990 election result is no longer valid. But again, before the election, they issue the political party registration law, which require all the parties to re-register, you know, because there were a registration of the parties in 1988, but they asked for re-registration, and then that new law requires the parties to expel their members who are in jail for their political belief, prisoner of conscience. So we have more than 2,000 political prisoners in Burmese jail, even up to now. And at the time, Daw Aung San Suu Kyi was under house arrest. So according to that new law, the National League for Democracy Party required to expel Daw Aung San Suu Kyi from the party if they want to re-register and if they want to contest an election. So NLD is clear, we cannot expel our party and we cannot expel those members in the prison. They had been arrested arbitrarily, put in sentence, how long prison terms with the unjust legal system. So we could not expel these party members who are committed for the democratic struggle. That's why NLD decided not to contest in the election. But again, the military manipulated the whole process and both rigging and then also the mismanagement of state assets. So again, of course, obviously, military backed party won the landslide victory. They took not only 25% in the parliament, directly appointed by the commander-in-chief, now they are the majority party in the parliament. So we have seen new parliament, new government, but I have to say in brief that, you know, it's like they're putting the old wine in the new glass. The same old generals from the regime, now they come back again with a civilian dress, so that now the new president of the government was the former general, former prime minister of the old regime. So actually, there are new structures, but not different changes. But anyway, we have been working together with our friends at Burma Campaign UK and new generation like Zoya Phan. In the last 20 years, we are able to build up the pressure. And then that led to the release of Aung San Suu Kyi. And release of Aung San Suu Kyi rejuvenate the movement. And then even though NLD, and according to the regime, is not the legal party, so we still continue to exist as a party. Because in our point of view, existence of the party depends on the will of the people. As long as people support the party will exist and party will continue the struggle. So Daw Aung San Suu Kyi is able to mobilize the new generation. So now the momentum of the movement has been speeding up, even though there is still restriction. But anyway, the regime is now interested to get recognition from the international community. And of course, they are also willing to see the lifting the sanction imposed by the United States and also some sanction measures imposed by the European Parliament. So another interest of the regime is to get the chairmanship of the ASEAN in 2014. So for all these reasons of their own interest, now they are showing the gestures to talk to Daw Aung San Suu Kyi. For the first time in the last 20 years, Daw Aung San Suu Kyi got a chance to talk to the president. And also they are talking about forming the Human Rights Commission and, you know, Peace Committee and like that. Of course, structurally, we have seen that kind of initiatives, but we still need to make sure that, you know, that it's not the superficial change, but the real, genuine reform. So that's the situation in our country. Of course, because as I said in the outset, we have a multi-ethnic state and the ethnic minority, ethnic issue, ethnic rights is the part of the solution if we want to overcome the current crisis. And I would like to give the deliberation and flow to my colleague, Zoya Phan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank you for this description of this sad and not only sad situation. We are a little bit short of time because we have plenary meeting at 10. So if you have something to add, I would like to ask you to be brief, and afterwards I would pass the floor to any of my colleagues who want to intervene.
Thank you very much. First of all, it is For me, it's a great honor to be speaking here in the Portuguese Parliament, and it is my first time, and it is very good to see several members of the Parliament from different committees showing unity to support the cause in Burma. It means so much for us. This week, we are here to ask support from the Portuguese government, from your parliament, and from the public. And yesterday we met with the foreign ministry, and we were very pleased to get the meeting with the foreign ministry. But we were not really encouraged and impressed by the response from the Portuguese government and European Union as a whole. That's why we are here today to get support from you. As member of parliament, you can do a lot to help us. And like Dr. Thornton already mentioned, the situation in Burma, and in terms of politics, in terms of economic, social, people in Burma still face this brutal treatment from the regime. Although the regime is engaging in a charm offensive to avoid international pressure and to avoid sanctions, still on the ground, human rights violations are increasing. Since last year, in November, when the regime had a fake elections, and after that, they released Aung San Suu Kyi. But actually, it was designed to brought in a constitution. These elections brought in this constitution that wasn't about genuine democracy, human rights, and freedom for the people. But it was mainly to continue the rule of dictatorship through civilian guise. And just a day after the sham elections, the regime broke ceasefire agreement with armed ethnic groups. And it's been three times now since last year that the regime broke ceasefire agreement with armed ethnics who had this ceasefire for 20 years. And this armed ethnics group, their main aim, our political aim, where they wanted to establish federal system in Burma with the right to protect their own culture, language, and history. But this constitution that the regime brought in denied this right. That's why when the regime, as part of the constitution, requested, forced these ethnic armed groups to join in their army, but basically it's a complete surrender through their border guard force. And this ethnic army didn't want to join the Burmese army because it didn't guarantee their future and their for the aim that they want, which is federalism in Burma. And as a result, the regime launched major military offensive. And as the nature of their army, they target civilian. Men and women, they were killed, and women, including young girls, have been gang raped by the army. And tens of thousands of people are used as slaves. And many of them were forced to flee from their homes into neighboring countries. And they become refugees. And we have one of the most major human rights and humanitarian crises in Asia now. But it was very disappointing that international community, including European Union, hasn't take firm action against the regime in Burma. And as a result, the regime continue to violate international laws. And the UN even hasn't set up a commission of inquiry into these possible war crimes and crimes against humanity, let alone taking actions. And UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights last year mentioned that these human rights violations were just so serious that there should be a commission of inquiry to investigate this. But actually, there hasn't been concrete actions. That's why we are here to ask for your help. There is a group of parliamentarians across Europe, which is called European Parliamentary Caucus on Burma. And this group come together to support democracy and human rights in Burma by trying to get European Union to take stronger actions on Burma. And I really would like to see you all here to join this group and get updated information from us from time to time. Thank you.
I have to ask you to be brief because we are very short of time. So, and I want to give the opportunity to my colleagues to, I think it's important that they talk.
Yeah, I'll be very brief. The European Union, as you know, has a common foreign policy on Burma. And in theory, this could be a very good thing, the whole of Europe coming together to promote human rights and democracy in Burma. But there have been internal divisions within the EU, which means that when the EU has finally agreed some measures of sanctions, they're usually toothless as a result of a compromise. The EU has generally followed a rather sort of softly approach on Burma, which Aung San Suu Kyi and the National League for Democracy, the Burmese Democracy Movement, have expressed publicly their concern about the European Union not being as robust as it should, not taking the action and not acting in unity. From our understanding, the government of Portugal in the European Union meetings, while following the debate, is not often an active participant in the discussions on Burma policy. And when the government does intervene, it's usually on the side to urge caution, to say, let's wait and see, let's not act now. And this is a policy that has been followed by international community for a very long time. So we would like to see the government of Portugal very firmly and strongly coming down on the side of Burma's democracy movement, of the victims of the human rights abuses in Burma, and pushing for stronger action against the abuses that we've heard described here today. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Muito obrigado. Eu tenho aqui já uma inscrição do Sr. Deputado Costa Neves, do PSD. My colleague Costa Neves, Social Democratic Party.
Thank you. Thank you for your update of information. It's always good for us to know the last information you have. Of course, we follow your problem and your fight after years. I would like to begin to speak about our sympathy, the sympathy of my party, PSD, that is the major party in the parliament, is also in the coalition in the government. Our sympathy for your efforts to reach democracy, to reach human rights, to reach respect for the rule of law in your country. So I think this is probably the most important to say. I also would like to say that we appreciate very much all your efforts after years and years to maintain your problem in the political agenda. It's a big effort, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for coming. I have a very, very brief question, and my question is, thank you for your information about EU and how EU works, deals with the problem. And my question is, what do you think it's better in, for example, international meetings, ASEAN, Europe, ASEAN, or others? It's to exclude the representation of Burma, to try to put them out of the room, or allow the participation of Burma delegation and try to put pressure during the meeting. Thank you.
We have other questions and other interventions. I think it's better to put them all together. My colleague, Santo Silva from the Socialist Party.
Thank you. Just a few words, since we are out of schedule. First of all, to congratulate UGT for hosting the meeting this year in Portugal of the campaign in favor of democracy in Burma. Thank you for your interventions. They were very precise and gave a lot of information to us. And I would like to express the solidarity on behalf of the Socialist Party with your cause, with the cause of promoting civil rights, the rule of law and democracy in Burma. And of course, we'll exchange the information you gave to us with our colleagues in the Parliament, in the European Parliament, Socialist Group of Parliament, the European Parliament. And of course, we will consider the information you gave and your points of view in what regards the parliamentary scrutiny of the Portuguese government. Thank you.
Michael Pedro Soares from the Bloco de Esquerda.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to say thank you to you for your information. We are following the situation in Burma. It's not good. We already knew that the fake elections in November of last year are, in our opinion, really the same that you brought here. For us, your cause, the cause of democracy, of defending human rights and freedom for the people, are the ones that should be following in Burma. So for our opinion, we salute your commitment to this cause. And in Portugal and in the EU, we are inviting all the efforts to help this cause with all the troubles, all the difficulties that are in the ground. We know that they exist. But as we say in Portugal, hope is the last thing to fall.
Não tenho mais inscrições, so I have no further inscriptions. So if you please, now.
As far as we see the Burma participation of Burmese representative in EU-ASEAN meeting was a big debate for some years. And then after some years, we democracy movement have the perception that Burma should not be an obstacle for the EU-ASEAN relation, because there are so many common issues that has to be discussed between the ASEAN and EU. That's why we propose that, okay, we will no longer object the participation, but please make sure that use that occasion, EU-ASEAN meeting or EU-ASEAN meeting, to press on the regime regarding the position of the EU, you know, and then and use this occasion to press on the regime to fulfill the recommendation made in the EU common position, and especially improvement of human rights and democratization. So that is our position.
Can I come in, please? I think we've never wanted to isolate the dictatorship. We've wanted maximum pressure. But we are talking about military men, and the new president of Burma was named in the 1990s by the UN Special Rapporteur for directly ordering his troops to commit human rights abuses. Troops under his command were gang raping ethnic minority women with impunity, with no consequences. So we're not dealing with diplomats here. So yes, at ASEAN meetings, we must be pushing them. But at the end of the day, they are not diplomats, they're not politicians. They're soldiers, and they're soldiers who are guilty of committing horrific human rights abuses. And when we want to pressure them, it's through their pockets, through targeted economic sanctions, or it's through the threat of ending up at the International Criminal Court, a commission of inquiry. Those are the things that they are really worried about. So we must use diplomacy, but it has to be diplomacy backed by a big stick, or they won't take it seriously.
I have no further inscriptions, so I'd like to, first of all, to congratulate UGT for giving us the opportunity to know this problem closer. And I would like to express my desire that this situation can be overcome in the near future with a real democratization of Burma. We have in Portugal also a long experience in the 20th century, as you know, of a dictatorship and even of a constitution that was approved by a plebiscite, by a sort of this sort of fake referendum. And we know that, well, these situations come to an end sooner or longer. So I'd like to express my personal support and express my wish that this situation is, in the near future, overcome. Penso que chegamos assim ao fim. I thank you.